Chapter 14. Preparations. Uncle Louis smiled sadly. I'm sorry, Amy. I can't stay in your house because that would be unfair to the others.
You could take turns staying with all of us, she suggested hopefully.
Are you afraid to be on your own? He asked, looking up at the big building board mansion that many of the Tinies had helped the girls construct. 8 weeks had passed quickly. All the houses were now built and no one slept in the store deck anymore.
Not terribly afraid, she murmured, coming closer to Uncle Louis and putting her arm around him.
I know Odin and Pontsy are always guarding us, but I just feel better when you are close by.
Uncle Louis smiled and gave Amy a hug. Now over 6 centimeters tall, Amy was a slim, pretty girl who was becoming a strong, positive leader. He was rather amused by her trust in Odin and Pontsy. The heroes had been praised numerous times and now spent much of their day in the North Forest near the train tracks, guarding Paradise. Louis knew the train was carefully inspected every day before entering Paradise. He didn't expect any more frightening creatures would ever have the opportunity to ransack their world. But the whole ordeal had elevated Odin and Pontsy in everyone's eyes and given them a story to tell, over and over.
I must stay near the store, Uncle Louis explained. I need to be somewhere central so that anyone can find me quickly. Paradise is a very safe place, and you have a house full of girls and 2 boys nearby.
Okay, she sighed, leaning her head on his shoulder. I guess I'll be okay.
You will be, he assured with a gentle squeeze. And if you ever call out for me, I'll come running. Amy smiled up at him gratefully. As they approached the clearing at the top of Rainbow Hill, they saw the new row of solar twinkle lights that had been strung along the trees. Are you getting ready for the celebration tonight? He asked. The children were 12 months old and maturing rapidly. Uncle Louis had told everyone a thank you celebration was in order to show their appreciation to the mastermind of Paradise. He assured them that he had a special way of telling the professor and Evan to watch the show.
It's going to be amazing, Amy smiled, looking up at him with delight. Georgia has added a very special ending to our song. She made little shakers, and Vanitha painted them. And Vahid has these metal things that make a loud clang when he hits them together. I'm sure the professor and Evan will love our song.
I'm sure they will too, Uncle Louis smiled. This is going to be a very special celebration.
Oh, and this is the best part, Amy added enthusiastically, as she pulled away and clapped her hands. Zaheer has agreed to sing with me.
You talked him into it?
Yes, she nodded exuberantly, her blue eyes sparkling.
Finally.
Zaheer doesn't think he has a good voice, but he does. Except, she added, when his voice cracks. But hopefully that won't happen tonight.
Well done, Amy, Uncle Louis praised happily. I'm really looking forward to the performance and hearing the two of you sing.
Looking down toward the lake, he murmured, I need to go and see if the surfers are ready.
Uncle Louis turned away to head down to the beach. Amy met Zaheer to practice her song. Everyone had a role to play in the celebration, and there were even going to be 2 special awards given out, which Uncle Louis was keeping secret. Leaving the school pavilion, the elder Tiny crossed the bridge over Rainy River. Zaheer had named it such, as it only flowed when it rained in Paradise. Looking out at the lake, Uncle Louis sighed. Damien, Franz, and Lima were supposed to be doing a surfing show for the celebration, but at the moment they were in the water throwing an apple back and forth. While many of the youths had built houses and learned to make, grow, or find something to barter with in the store, the beach boys had strung their hammocks in the trees and learned to build surfboards, but only for themselves. That was all they had worked on during the entire 8 weeks they had spent in Paradise. Unfortunately, the beach boys still rarely had anything to trade. Recently, they had begun sneaking food supplies from Nancy, who had no way of stopping them. Seeing the apple that they were tossing around, Uncle Louis guessed they had taken it from the orchards lining the beach. Since they never contributed to any of the work on the farm, it didn't seem fair for them to help themselves to the produce. Uncle Louis had been trying to convince the professor that some rules and consequences were needed in Paradise. As of last night, the professor had agreed that if the boys stole from the store again, it would be helpful to impose a consequence.
Hey guys, Uncle Louis called out, are you ready for the show tonight?
I can stand up on my board, Louis, Franz replied. Want to see?
I would, Uncle Louis told him, choosing to ignore the fact that Franz had shortened his name. If there were to be no rules in Paradise, he could hardly insist on respectful titles.
I'd like to see what all of you are planning to do for the celebration, he encouraged. With a little grumbling about their game being interrupted, the boys grabbed their surfboards off the beach and headed out into the waves. They lay on top of the boards and paddled out to where the white caps were forming. Uncle Louis watched patiently as the boys struggled time and again to get up on the boards. Damien was the strongest and most agile, although Lima wasn't far behind. After several tries, Damien was the first to stand for several seconds riding a wave. Then he was tossed headfirst into the water. Well done, Uncle Louis clapped. He watched until each boy had stood up on his board for at least a few seconds. He admired their proficiency in the water and wished that more of the Tinies had learned to swim. But it hadn't been a popular activity. Perhaps I didn't teach it very well, he reflected, as Damien swam hard towards the bigger waves. It's difficult to be enthusiastic and build their confidence in something that still intimidates me. Finally, he called the boys in. You're doing very well on those boards, Uncle Louis told them with a big smile, and I love watching you swim. The boys looked proudly at each other. Yes, I wish all of us could swim like you do, he nodded. You've got it down pat. A little more surfing practice this afternoon will help you to do even better tonight. It would be great to aim for 10 seconds each on those boards. Easy, Damien boasted. Lima considered the request dubiously. How about 5? Franz offered. See what you can do, Uncle Louis encouraged. Now before I go, we also need to discuss trading. Franz frowned. What do we need to trade for? There's enough food for everyone in the store. With a smile, Uncle Louis reminded him. We trade because it keeps everyone productive and learning new skills. There are plenty of fish in this lake you boys could catch. Anyone can catch fish if they want them, Lima argued, his dark arms folded against his bare chest. It takes 2 minutes of that. Yeah, Damien agreed. So here fishes every morning. If anyone else wants fish, they can come get them. We don't mind. The professor would like you to contribute in some way, Uncle Louis said kindly. You could make surfboards for other people, or try to make boats. I've heard that boats are easier to use on the water. That's a lot of work, Damien complained with his hands on his hips. It took us days to make these surfboards. No one else even wants to learn how to swim, so who would want a board? Well, if none of these suggestions are appealing to you, Uncle Louis told them, then you can always go to Mining Hill and see what treasures you can find. Some would like rocks for the gardens or gems and pebbles for decorations. You're welcome to dig up anything and bring it to the store for trade. Oh, that's too hard, Franz whined. The gentle negotiating didn't seem to be making any headway. Okay, from now on, Uncle Louis said firmly, if you steal food or supplies, you will be banned from the lake until you make or bring something to trade. Lima laughed. Will someone stand there all day and night guarding the lake? For a moment, Uncle Louis imagined himself building a wall, a tall, thick wall, all around the lake with a big, locked gate. Folding his arms across his chest, Uncle Louis reminded himself that a tall, thick wall wouldn't fit with the professor's desire for paradise to be a happy, free place. With a sigh, he remembered the lofty principles of servant leadership. Persuasion, he told himself. Try a little more persuasion. Guys, Uncle Louis pleaded, have a look at the wonderful world we are living in. Do you think we would have such a delightful paradise if Evan and the professor just laid around, played with their friends, and only thought about their own interests? Lima shrugged. Well, we wouldn't, Uncle Louis said, answering his own question. The professor and Evan worked very hard to make paradise for us. They want us to do our part to make it more beautiful, to learn, and to help each other. Are we their slaves? Damien questioned. No, he retorted. We are all working together to keep our paradise the best that it can be. And then what? Lima questioned. Uncle Louis looked at him with confusion, unsure of what he meant. Damien understood. He shrugged and explained. Not everyone cares about the way things look. Glancing over at his friends, he added, We don't. The friends agreed. Paradise looks good enough already, Franz put in. Why can't we just enjoy it and have fun? Because without our effort, paradise won't function as well as it can, Uncle Louis explained. He tried to think of ways to help the boys understand. Imagine if no one planted food in the gardens or made sure the plants were well watered. What if no one took the produce to the store and Nancy and Milan didn't turn it into a delicious meal? What would you eat? We'd pick our own apples, Lima argued. Yawning, Damien stated, I'd be fine with Wonder Drink.
Me too, France chimed in.
With a skeptical expression, Uncle Louis looked long and hard at the boys. Lima and Damien couldn't help but smile. They knew they weren't being entirely truthful. Franz looked away.
Well, Uncle Louis told them, the professor and Evan gave years of their lives to make this world. All they ask is that we do our part to keep it attractive and self-sustaining. That's how we show our gratitude to them.
I don't know who the professor is, Franz argued. Then with a twinkle in his brown eyes, he added, or even if he really exists. The other boys laughed. Uncle Louis shook his head in disappointment.
But, Lima admitted, we do know Evan.
Yeah, Evan was nice, Damien agreed half-heartedly. We should at least be thankful to him.
I've had enough of this, France complained. Let's go practice our surfing. And with that, he ran into the water. The other boys followed.
Watching them run off, Uncle Louis wondered how he could help these boys understand the importance of gratitude and working together for the benefit of the whole group. The majority of the Tinies loved the bartering system and enjoyed discovering new treasures they could take to the store. Thankfulness towards Professor and Evan for the daily trainloads of goods and the magnificent world was something many of the children related to quite naturally. Walking back over the dry, rainy river channel and through the orchards which were loaded down with fruit, Uncle Louis saw that Santa and Charlie were harvesting the cherry crop. Santa was happily humming away to herself as she worked. A lot of the fruit had been pecked by the birds, but the kids were carefully choosing the most intact berries. Maxie lay nearby, watching intently for rabbits.
"Hey, Uncle Louis," Charlie called out, "should we put the best cherries in a basket to bring to the celebration tonight? Would Evan and the professor like that?"
"Sure," Uncle Louis nodded, very pleased by Charlie's suggestion. "That's a great idea."
"But how will the professor see the cherries?" Santa asked, looking very confused. "How will he know they are there?"
For a moment, Uncle Louis wasn't sure how to answer the question. He knew he couldn't tell her the technical details.
"Well," he began slowly, "the professor and I have a special connection. If I tell him to look at something, then he will."
"But how does he see us?" Santa asked, looking up at the sky.
"He just can when he wants to," Uncle Louis shrugged.
"Will we see him?" Charlie asked.
"No, you can't see him," Uncle Louis answered. "But trust me, the professor can see us if he wants to, and so can Evan. I can't tell you any more than that."
It was easy to see that Santa had other questions, but she accepted his reply with a little shrug of her dark shoulders.
"It's too bad we can't send them a couple of mangoes," Charlie said thoughtfully. "But they aren't quite ready yet."
"No, they're still hard as rocks," Santa laughed. "And besides, there are only 7. Uncle Louis glanced over at the mango trees. They had certainly not been as productive as all the others.
"We'll send them a gift of cherries on the train tomorrow," Uncle Louis told her. "Then they'll get to enjoy them just like we do."
"Oh, that's a good idea," Santa laughed, wiggling her hips and clapping her hands together. "We'll pick the best cherries for them."